Good evening, everyone. Good morning, wherever you may be. In the background, my fake Big Ben is chiming. It's chiming for some Arsenal resurgence, perhaps. And in true Arsenal form, we have to make it till we fake it today. And we'll tell you why in just a minute. Welcome back to a live edition of the Highbury Squad. It's California. There's an earthquake. An alarm's going off. Hold on 1 second. Oh my God. Okay. So that was an alert from California. I'm sorry for all the bleeps going on, but there's a huge COVID message and a potential earthquake. I don't know what's happening, but we're going to stay on. And here's what's happened too. Usually this is where I would play KC's Super Kev segment for you to listen to, but in true technology form, something has failed us. So here I have the man live right now. Super Kev, welcome back.
All good to be back.
So here's what we're going to do tonight. KC did record three segments post North London Derby. Unfortunately, there's a technical glitch and we can't upload those. But as you know, the Highbury Squad, we just roll. We take it as it comes. Hence the alarms this morning. So KC's going to do his three segments for all of you. Then you get to chime in and have your comments. We're also going to have a special guest that kind of bounces in right after KC's segment. And then we have, I don't know how many comments, hundreds of comments from our YouTube show the other day that I'm going to try and read out for KC as much as possible. So for now, Super Kev, I hand it over to you and I mute myself.
Lovely. Right. Everyone, this is Kev Says Part 9. And this is 3 points post North London Derby. It's really important. Now, the first point, everybody, we're going to look at is the management, right from the hierarchy at the top all the way down to Mikel Arteta. I know there's people not happy with Arteta. There's people calling for his head. There's people are saying give him time, etc. But we're going to look at the whole shooting match because it's not just a matter of the now. It's a matter of everything. We've got to look at everything. So that's part one. Number two is, for me, what I've been calling out is the players. And we have to look at, there's players who Arteta keeps on picking that the fan base ain't happy about. There's people that Arteta doesn't trust. There's also players that we should have acquired, never acquired. Are we going to give the manager time to go out and get some players, etc.? There's even the thing that's come up today about MO going to Fenerbahce, etc. So I could put that one in there. We got to look at the players as a whole. Is the culture, is the team, is everybody smart enough? There's a lot of international players in there who really are they doing their job? We got to look at what the players do. And here's a question for all of you fans. Here's the third part. Are you guys telling me we really didn't see this coming after all this time? Leaving Highbury, going to the Emirates and being sold a dream and swallowing top four all the time and not getting better. Can you honestly tell me we never really saw it coming? Kev says, we saw it coming, but we didn't want to believe it. But I want your points. And Sophie, let's get into it.
Okay, let's do it, KC. And we will definitely post the pre-records that you did on our YouTube channel as well, so everyone can see this for anyone who is listening on replay. You bring up three really good points. You brought up three additional good points before the Tottenham game. You've been questioning the players all season. You and I have gone back and forth and we've argued a little bit over players who have been able to win FA Cups and win Cup games and perform in different competitions versus the Premier League. And does that point the finger at managers, no matter if it's Wenger, Emery or Arteta? But what I'd like to do is give the platform and the voice to the fans and for our listeners. We've had and been inundated with comments on YouTube. But right now, what I would like to do is bring in a very special Guna to the show. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce you to Mike Stavrou. You haven't seen him before on the Highbury squad. You may have seen him on 90 Minutes and also on Harry's show, Chronicles of a Guna. He works with the Metro as well, and he is a young and budding Arsenal podcaster and journalist who I know you will definitely be hearing from a lot in the coming days, weeks, and future. Welcome to the show, Mike. KC, welcome.
Thank you for having me. Thank you. What an intro. You put a pressure on me now, so I've got to deliver now.
No, hey, listen, you're damn right, Mike. This is what it's about.
I've got to step up.
You listen, Mike, when you're in the presence of KC, you got to make a pass so he can finish, right? So yeah, it's down exactly to you now. I step back. Yeah. So the forum is yours. Welcome to the show, Mike. Thanks so much for joining us. Love what you're doing. Love kind of your passion for Arsenal sport as well. And we are always, you know, we actually spoke to Harry two or three years ago when he was just starting out, when he was trying to get his book done and stuff. So to see his journey is great. And so for us to support young folks who want to talk about Arsenal, it's our pleasure. And the floor is yours. I told you to come prepared with questions for Super Kev. So it's over to you.
Yeah, well, just on that one point, you say young, but I don't get ID'd anymore when I go to the club. So thank you for that.
Firstly, that makes me feel better.
Thank you for that. Maybe it's the beard. Lockdown beard needs to go eventually when we can actually get out. But
Show the baby face, Mike.
No, because I look about 14, Kev.
Yeah, that's why you don't get ID'd.
Yeah, so it's on the Arsenal front. I think we obviously share the pain that we're going through, the humiliation on the weekend. Not that it's a weird one, because not that it was a terrible performance, but just how obvious and typical it was of what was going to happen. We all sort of knew that Mourinho was going to set up that way, and we played into his hands. And from our perspective, it was a bit of a tactical disaster class. But On a wider point, just where we are as a club, the sort of toxicity that's in a lot of the fan base at the moment, it makes me sort of it makes it difficult because you have to sort of live your life, you know, as a Guna, and you carry that around with you, and it starts to affect you in other ways. Like, I'll be sitting there watching a game and my girlfriend's like, it's just the game. And I'm like, it's not just the game. That's the worst thing you can ever say to a fan. It's more than a game. It's more than a game. And the thing that I wanted to bring up was to start on a bit more of a positive note, because, you know, we've been doom merchants. You know, we see where we are on the table, how many points away we are from the relegation zone. And you know, if Brighton beat Southampton, that would drop to 16th and all the stuff like that. So, on a more positive note, what I can take as well from this season is our Europa League form. Seeing some of the youngsters that have been brought in and perform really well. Some of the more senior players that are on the fringes of the squad. Kev, I wanted to ask you, from those sort of Europa League performances, is there any players in particular that stand out that you would say that Arteta could maybe look towards if things continue to go badly? Is there anyone that sort of sticks out for you?
That's a difficult question. And I'll tell you the reasons why. Fortunately, we are doing well in the Europa League. Mm-hmm. But the Europa League standard in the group form isn't strong. Because our youngsters can play and they can dominate those games. But if we're honest, we have seen our youngsters come into the first team, and it's a lot harder to dominate and make an impression in the first team, because you are playing at such an elite level and you're playing against seasoned professionals that it's not just about talent. Because if it's about talent, Mike, we could write our team sheet down and we would win quite a few games just by the talent alone. But it's not about that. Once they cross the white line, they have to perform and execute. And this is what we can't do. So I think there's a lot of talent in them young players, 100%. But any one of them coming through to make an impression, we've seen Willock do really well in Europa. He came in for a couple of games and didn't quite do so well. Obviously, didn't really have a run, but you expect him to do better than he did. We've seen Reece Nelson come in and do okay at times. I think the crazy one for everybody, me included, I know Sophie's serious about this one, is Maitland-Niles.
Yeah.
What's happened to Maitland-Niles? Why can't he even get in the team? He played brilliant against, who was it, Vienna the other day. He was excellent in the centre of the pitch, but we've seen him do a job at left back, centre midfield and right back, right wing backs, etc. But he doesn't even get a chance in the team. That I can't understand. Saliba, who is another young player who we spent a lot of money on, we don't see. Nobody knows why we don't see him. And he can't be any worse than what we've got. If we're honest, he's big, strong, quick. That'll do me. You know, that will do me. Let's see him. But I don't know what's going on. So a lot of the youngsters are talented. But to make an impression in the first team, Arteta doesn't trust them enough just yet.
And I think that's going to be really difficult, you guys. And Mike, I'll throw this back to you for how you want to kind of follow on with this. It's that until you do give them a chance, I mean, I'm not saying and I'm not comparing, because you can't compare what Alan Hansen said about 92 and the United kids and that Alex Ferguson was crazy. But when you look at the trust that some clubs put in their youth, and abroad, it's a little bit more prevalent to give younger players a chance. In England, it seems to be frowned upon a little bit to give youth a chance, especially English players, and they have to move on in order to be able to be given an opportunity. So, Mike, I'll throw this back to you. Because
Sophie, yes. whoa. Yes. Can I just say this? Mm-hmm. The youngest of the lot is playing.
Well, that's, yeah, but Saka's a different beast. No,
how is he? You're saying that the youngsters don't get a chance.
No, but Emery gave them the chance.
Yeah, but my point of the matter is, it's not Emery. It's Arteta. And Arteta doesn't trust them. He trusts Saka, trust the others.
I know, but we've seen Maitland-Niles is older now than Saka and some of the others. He's like 23 years old now, right? I mean, but he's still young. Reece Nelson, Saka, Emil Smith-Rowe, you know, all of these younger players. Martinelli's a bye. He's not like a Haaland boy or whatever, but Willock and all those. I mean, the way they play, I think, Mike, and I'm going to throw this back to you because this is your time, not mine. The way they play for the shirt, the way they wear the shirt, the way they fight. I don't think we know yet what they can really do in the Premier League because they've not really been given a shot. So at what point do you give them a shot? I hand it back to you.
Yeah, I mean, Maitland-Niles is a bizarre one because we made a point of not selling him in the summer. Why did we choose to keep him if we're not going to play him? It's just harming his development. He's not a Europa League standard player. We've seen, you know, multiple occasions he can just be thrown in. I remember last season against Wolves, he absolutely marked Adama Traore out of the game. It was spectacular. I've never seen a sort of one-on-one performance like that. And it's so rare that you get a manager that can have that much faith in a player in one game to say, all right, you go and do this job. Wherever it is on the pitch, that takes a supreme amount of talent. The fact that he's not playing now is completely baffling. The fact that, you know, he said consistently, I want to play in central midfield. He plays in central midfield against Rapid Vienna. Yes, it's against lesser opposition, but he does well. So then you then have to give him a chance, especially when you see how the likes of the experienced guys like Xhaka performed in the North London derby. You know, I think, to be honest, I think Xhaka does get a lot of criticism. Some of it is deserved, some of it isn't. But I think that was the game where you could say, we need something else. We need, you know, the verve that someone like Maitland-Niles can offer in midfield. And it's just baffling. With some of the other players, I agree in the sense that it is a lot of responsibility. You know, I think someone like Fellaini and Balogun, obviously, has done brilliantly well, but he's got little to no experience, and to throw him in the Premier League is quite dangerous, because if he doesn't quite perform straight away, the entire fan base is going to be completely on him. And I understand that. But when you look at it, in the North London derby, you're throwing in about 44 crosses, and the guy who's playing up front doesn't even want to challenge, you know, to head the ball. That tells me that you have to change something. Something has to change. You can't keep relying on these experienced players just because they're experienced. It has to be on merit. And that's why I think that some of these players just deserve a chance. They just deserve a chance to shine.
What do you think about that, Casey? Sorry, Mike. Because that's important, because we've talked about Balogun a lot, and Casey talks about the experience versus in theory, trust.
Yeah, the theory's fine. The theory's fine. But when the reality is a lot different. The reality is not under 23's football. I can tell you that much. If you look in the Premier League, there are only a few youngsters who have actually made their position their own, who have come in and done really well. There's only a few. If you look over the courses of the seasons, and do you really think we should be putting that pressure on these kids? I don't agree. I don't agree. I understand they're talented. I'll say it again. I understand they're talented. I've always said, Sophie, and you could tell me if I'm right or wrong here, that they need to get out on loan and get some football in them. They need to play week in, week out to understand what the game is about. Because there was a comment, they've been around the first team for two seasons.
Yeah. I think Balogun needs that, Casey. Smith Rowe's been to Huddersfield. He's been out.
He's been out half a season.
Yeah, but he did well.
He's been out half a season.
I know. Look at what Mavrobanos is doing in Germany. I mean, he's actually showing that maybe he's the kind of player that we could use during this season. Yeah,
but how long's he been out on loan now?
Well, he went out last season.
That's right. And this is his second season. He's growing. Eddie had half a season. Smith Rowe had half a season. It's not enough. It is not enough.
Do you think there's a lot to be said here with Newman, Mike? I'll start with you and you can get to your next question. The kids won't have that pressure, right? And I agree, James, 100% Kev, just because players don't perform doesn't mean others are better. Young lads need game time experience. But Mike, without the opportunity and without us throwing them into maybe a game like Burnley, why not? What do we have to lose other than lose the game?
Yeah, I mean, I don't. That's the question, really. And obviously, when experienced ones aren't doing the job, and you have the youngsters on the sidelines watching them, who are meant to be setting the example, I mean, that's when you start to question it. And for me, it is a difficult one, because I understand where Kev's coming from, but then in the same sense, like, there's nothing right about this team. There's nothing right about the tactics. I think the belief was there at Tottenham, but when that belief starts to go, if performances get worse, I mean, what's going to happen then? And that's my concern, because at least I know now that the players are willing to fight for Arteta. They, you know, they somewhat, from what we can see, believe in him as a coach. They've not turned on him. But when that, you know, how long is it really? And I'm not being a doom merchant here, but I'm just trying to be realistic.
He can answer that. He's been in it.
How the players, you know, responded to Emery. I'm just saying, like, how long will it be? How bad the results have to get before they get to that stage?
Well, KC's played for top teams, and he's also been a captain of a Super Survival Sunday relegation battle with West Brom, one of the most infamous of all time, where they escaped and somehow did. The most. So, KC, what about that in terms of what Mike is saying? With
again, in theory, it's great sitting behind a computer and saying, you know, yeah, you know, they could do. We can't get any worse. You want to bet? Do you want to bet? Because let me tell you something. You throw the kids in against Burnley. It's hard enough with the experienced players against Burnley. You play against that side with the kids who don't have the experience. You could destroy them. I'm telling you now, you could.
In one game, Casey?
No, but what I'm saying is, it's the pressure. You think kids have no pressure, but of course there's. You play for Arsenal Football Club. Of course there's pressure. There's massive pressure to perform. And this is why I'm saying it's the players. Because whether we like it or not, when you cross that white line and you're playing for the Arsenal, you get every team's best, every single team, because the scalp of Arsenal is still coveted. It is massive.
You think so still? Don't you think
I don't think I know. I know.
I think teams expect to beat us now.
No, but that's even worse. That's even more why it's a prize scalp, because they can beat us. They feel they can. Don't forget, they used to come to Highbury in the Emirates and think to themselves, we got to keep the score down. We got to try and keep the crowd quiet for 20, 25 minutes. Now, they're rubbing their hands saying, listen, we get an early goal, they're gone. That's the difference.
I mean, it's been like that for a few seasons. Okay, Mike, I'm going to throw it back to you. What other questions do you have for Super Kev? You're listening to the Highbury squad right here. It's our North London Derby 2.0 with Kevin Says and the Fan Forum Q&A. We've got Mike Stavrou here from Metro Sports and 90 Minutes jumping in with us for a few minutes to ask Super Kev some questions. The floor is back to you, Mike. What else do you have to ask KC?
So just following on from that, Kev, you know, if we're saying it's the players and we're saying that we've seen the same things, you know, time and time again, struggled for creativity, struggled to break teams down. I know it's the absolute million-dollar question, but is there anything, you know, whether it's tactical, whether it's, you know, in terms of something they can do differently in training, how does Arteta try to go about changing it? Take the Burnley game. What does he say to them? Does he do anything differently? Does he change, you know, does he change the system again? Does he go back to the five at the back? I don't know. Mike, it's honestly Mike, the toughest question. But Mike, what does he do,
Mike, when you're actually on the inside of the football club and you're at the training ground? The coaching staff do everything, trust me, they do everything to prepare you to beat the opposition. Everything. So on that training pitch, you will watch, you on the training ground, you will watch the video, you will go out and you will go through the certain routines that you need to go through in order to capture Burnley, okay? So all the preparation is done. That's what high-level football is about. So you prepare and you're positive to win the game. Once I've said it again, and I'm going to keep saying it until people start getting pissed off with me. Once the players cross that white line, once you cross that white line, all the work you've done on the training pitch, you have to execute it on the pitch to get the win. But Arsenal aren't doing that. So whatever they're doing on the training ground, they are not transferring it to the pitch. But they've proven that they can do it. But right now, they are not doing it. And that is the problem. So Mikel Arteta, he can change the system. He can change players. He can do whatever the fans want.
Yeah, but have they proven it? Are you saying this team under Arteta have proven it?
No, we've seen them do it, Mike. But right now they're not
in the cup.
But they can do it in big games, I think, when their backs are against the wall. I think you agree that some of our best performances came when our backs were against the wall. We played a defensive counter-attacking style, but still, I've still seen problems persist that we just cannot create clear-cut chances, which is what all the best teams can do. You look at Liverpool, you look at Manchester City.
But we're not the best team, Mike. Right now, we're far from it.
Yeah, but even Brighton are creating chances, KC. Brighton are creating chances.
Like, this is not high-level stuff. Like, just to create, get runners in behind. You know,
Get runners in behind. Who in our midfield is running behind?
Well, no one, but that's
right. There's only one player in our midfield who runs in behind, and that's Willock. Apart from that, Tobias ain't doing it
in the Premier League.
No, but that's what I'm saying. So
but you're saying that Arteta doesn't trust the youth, so he shouldn't play.
No,
so
I'm yet, saying
he's the only Rambo.
I'm saying I said Willock played two games and done nothing, whereas he shone in the Europa League. That's what I said. So he doesn't trust him, because if he puts him in when he's playing well and he can't do it in the Premier League, he's not going to give him too much time.
Is it fair that he
time.
Gets one game? So Willian gets every game this season and Willock gets one Premier League game to start.
No, he played two. Willock. He played two.
Oh, excuse me. He played two. He got the chance.
But that's how much you might get as a young player. Yeah.
Oh, and
unfortunately,
really,
Sophie, sorry, but that's how much you might get.
I also get that. But also in the new world that we live in, there's a lot of chances given to youth because youth have innovation. They have a contemporary element to them, whether it's in various different industries. And to kind of say that, you know, two chances and that's it, when really in this team that's tricky in the Premier League and hasn't found its feet and is very challenge creatively, especially in the midfield, maybe our defense is better, to then kind of sit and say with the same breath, like Willian can sit there and start against Fulham, start against Leicester, start against all these teams. I mean, that's just a weird juxtaposition to
Sophie, look, if you look at William's resume and you look at Willock's resume, it's not even close.
Of course it isn't, but Willian's not the same player he used to be.
No, and because listen,
seven or eight games to play one great game.
Yeah, but what I'm saying to you, Sophie, is this. When you're an experienced player, you get the benefit of the doubt.
Doesn't make it right, Casey.
I never said it is right. It is just the truth.
That's how it is.
But it shouldn't be. That's why he should have won.
But it is. It doesn't matter. You reckon
and he's Unai Emery and he's Wenger.
Let me tell you something. The managers can't go with everything a fan says, because some fans will say one thing, some fans will say another. He's going to do what he thinks is right. Right? He is going to do what he thinks is right. Now, the issue is Arsenal we're struggling. We are struggling. And if we're going to put faith in kids, we're asking for even more trouble.
Maybe not put faith, but just give them a bit more. Like, give them
a bit more,
a
like
start
what?
Here and there.
Like what? Like where? Willock played two
games.
Just
throw them in. Yeah.
No, but Willock played
Reece two. Nelson.
Which two games did he start, Casey?
He started against Leeds, and he started against, it was a home game. Who was after Leeds at home?
Was it Wolves?
Wolves.
Right.
He started both games.
Not easy games to come into.
Doesn't matter. Hey, it doesn't matter. Not easy. Well, what game would you like him to play, Sophie? They're all
I'm not
hard.
Being funny, but everyone's been so patient with Pepe and Willian and all these other players, and Arteta is picking the same players who don't perform week in, week out. And Willock's given two. How was he set up? In those games, did we not WhatsApp each other? Hey, Mike. And beg and say, oh my gosh, Willock keeps screaming at Willian to make a run, to keep moving forward. Willock was actually hampered and
Sophie.
He was set up to fail
Sophie.
Because of what was in front of him.
Sophie.
We don't look at those things though, Casey.
Sophie.
Sophie
and Mike, it doesn't matter what we think. It's what he produces for the manager to think, he done well today, I'll keep him in. He never done much. That's my point. I never said he played bad, but he never done much.
All right, Mike, we have you for a few more minutes. What else do you want to ask the big man before?
He's asking some good questions, Sophie.
He is,
I
know. See, this is why we're going to bring him back. And also,
yeah,
I know
good
he agrees
question.
With me on Willock, maybe, you know, sometimes how we set them up, Casey, when they come into the team, it matters. It matters,
you know,
if Willian's starting and he's going to be hampered when he's trying to move the ball forward,
Sophie,
and be effective creatively.
Sophie, can I just say this?
You can
I
say
am
whatever
not,
you want, you're a legend.
No, I am not against youngsters getting a chance. I am not.
I know
all.
You're not. I know.
Because
I
love them to get a chance.
I know.
But youngsters used to get a chance when the team are playing well. So it's an easier transition for a young player to come in. Whereas now, even our experienced players are awful.
I know. So it's like, how do we destroy players in there? And
we destroy the youngster by putting them in with the experience. That's the problem. And I think Arteta is trying to protect them a little bit.
Yeah. Wait, Tony, are you saying that Martinelli came off injured after 45 minutes? Can you please explain this? Because
I think he's got
45 to 6. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I think he said he's going to get 60.
I'm going to leave it to you because then we've got to some YouTube questions for KC. So you're welcome to stay and keep and join us as it's up to you. But what's your next question for KC?
My next question is I found it quite interesting, and I heard a podcast recently where someone was really questioning how Arteta was talking to the media and saying that, you know, I can't believe that he threw Nicolas Pepe under the bus after his red card. Me personally, I think he was completely in the right to do that. I think Pepe has made an absolute idiot of himself with that red card against Leeds. That's fair enough. They also questioned what Arteta said about Partey and the fact that he said Partey didn't understand the gravity of the situation when he walks off the pitch. And then, you know, it leads into a wider point, really. But how do you feel as a player if the manager is talking about you in the media? It's quite interesting because we've had some different approaches. You know, we'd have Wenger who would say, I didn't see it, and would just completely lie to defend his player. Then you have other managers like Mourinho who, you know, who's called out players like Luke Shaw in the past. You know, we could go on here forever and ever about the players that Mourinho's called out. Firstly, what do you think is the right approach? And I don't know if you saw Arteta's comments about Partey, but do you think he was right to say that he didn't understand the gravity of the situation and he should have stayed on?
Well, look, it's easy. It's easy for the manager to say whatever he wants because, look, he's the man at the helm. And whether Partey would have went down or not, it was still them breaking 5-3. Two defenders and a goalkeeper. Because if Partey was on the floor, the referee wouldn't have blown the whistle. They would have still played on.
Yeah, exactly.
What was more worrying for me was, after Nicola Pepe, as you mentioned first, went on international duty at the time, and he said, you know, he wants his chance. He wasn't disrespectful, which is great. He just said, you know, he wants an opportunity. After losing to Aston Villa, and then him getting a chance at Leeds, to go and do something stupid like that. The manager, if the manager tries to cover that up, what does it say about the manager? Because that isn't the culture that you want to build. You want to build, one, is a tough culture. Two, and this is the most important thing. Two, you want players who are accountable. Right? And three, you want players who won't do stupid things to put their teammates in problems. If you get those three, we'd be all right. But we haven't got them.
Okay. So then I guess the argument is that, you know, there's been players that have been axed from the squad, you know, rightly or wrongly. Mesut Ozil, we don't know what's going on there, but he's been axed from the squad. Then you have Matteo Guendouzi, you know, after the Brighton game, he was axed from the squad. He's spoken about Nicolas Pepe. That situation is done now. For me, I just feel like what I want from my manager is just to be just a little bit more careful about how you speak about players. You know, he said over the summer that everyone was going to start from zero, and then we never saw Guendouzi again. He went off on loan. I just don't really understand.
Why was that, Mike? Why was that? Because he didn't want to know. He threw his toys out the pram. That's
Arteta,
why.
Arteta or Guendouzi?
Guendouzi, he weren't having it. He's sulking. And it's not the first time he's done that. He's done that at other clubs as well. So,
but you could argue Oba's sulking right now.
No, yeah, well, of course we can. But listen.
You can't deal with young players, Casey.
No, and again, Sophie, this is part of the culture. What kind of players do we want as fans? Do we want crybabies?
Well,
do you ever see Bayern Munich or any of them teams crying about things?
No, because they have great managers that manage them properly.
No, because they go across the line and perform.
because they're trained well, they're drilled well, there's a philosophy, there's a culture to that club, there's unacceptable behavior, there's acceptable behavior. Sophie, they are Bayern München.
Sophie, they're accountable.
Of course they are. They're made
they
accountable.
Are accountable. They're accountable. Every manager prepares their team. Every manager.
Some do it well, some don't.
Yeah, but Arteta has proven that these players can do it, which is my point. The point of the matter is these players are not earning their money.
Well, they don't have the mental, they are mentally impotent in the league, and there's an issue with that. They're a one-off cup game. They're a cup game team. Yeah. But at the same time, the fact that they can do it, shame on them and shame on the manager that can't get them up to do it the same way in the league. Both are at fault, in my opinion. So we could go on back and forth about this all night. Right, we've got another 25 odd minutes left here with Super Kev. Start getting all your questions into chat. There's a few I'm going to go back to. Mike, is there anything else you'd like to ask the ledge before we let you go?
Yeah.
Speak now, forever hold your peace.
I wanted to ask, so obviously we got the January window coming up. Not expecting much from that, Kev. But when you look at this team now, where are the glaring holes?
Well, you look at fullback, that's a glaring hole. You look at the midfield, not good enough. 100% not good enough. And if you're going to stick 40-odd crosses in and you're only going to get one header, you're going to need a big striker, aren't you? If that's the way you're going to do it and you're going to put balls in, you're going to need someone who can edit.
Olivier Giroud?
Oh, I can't see him coming back.
No, but I'm just saying we had him.
We had a plan.
Again, yeah. But I'm just saying you need someone who can head the ball.
Yeah,
because
Aubameyang.
Sticking 40-odd crosses in and only getting one header, it's not right. So you could say, Arteta could talk about, we got all these crosses in. Doesn't matter. Spurs were comfortable. We could have been there till next week. We wouldn't have scored.
Well, why not prepare the team, KC, to have someone, if you're going to play that way, who can get behind them?
We ain't got anybody.
Like, so what? So what, Balogun? What about even, I'm not saying the kid from Malmo is ready. There's Zlatan 2.0, supposedly. But we don't have anyone in the club. Like, the manager setting up the team, Mike's got a brilliant point here. You're putting in, like, 40-plus crosses. And there's no one to get on the end of them, but that's your plan. And there's no one.
Instruction from the manager.
Yeah.
No, the instruction is, listen, he's got to work with what he's got to work with.
But he's not. He's putting in crosses where no one can get on the end of them.
No, but listen, he's putting in crosses because there is a metric that when you put in a certain amount of crosses and you get people into the box, that you will score a certain amount of goals.
Now we're moneyballing it. Now we need to get our old friend Billy Bean back for this.
This is serious stuff. He said the same against who did we play the last game before?
Wolves.
We played Wolves. He said we got 30-something crosses in. And yes, we did get opportunities. There was one, especially for Saka, where he went with his foot and he could have gone with his head, etc. We did create some chances in that game because of crosses. But against Spurs and the way they set up, it's never going to happen. You have to play your way through them. But we're not good enough to do that. We showed slight glimpses of it in the first half through Saka. And Bellerin got a couple to the byline, etc. But our crossing ain't good. We can't pick out a red shirt. And we're struggling at the minute, guys. We are.
Oh, it's sad, Kev. You're making me sad.
No, but it's the truth.
Right, don't be sad. Maybe next time you come on, you'll be glad instead of sad. But you know what? We're definitely not mad because you made us very, very glad that you came on the show today. Brilliant points, right, Super Kev? He gets the Kev.
Very good, mate. Very good. Thank you very much.
We are going to have you back for sure. So thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Take care, Mike.
Really great questions. Thank you so much. Take care. Keep believing.
I'll try.
In something. Maybe
I'll try.
Santa. Okay. Take care.
Yeah.
Bye-bye. Bye. All right. That's Mike Stavrou. You can check him out, Mike_Stavrou. And he's also with Metro Sport and 90 Minutes Football. And if you listen to our good friend over at Chronicles of Aguna, Harry Simeu, you'll see him on his podcast too. Right. Quick fire round, Casey. All right. Here we go. Now I'm going to get to the tough one first because I just saw it in here and it was Samuel. Here we go. Kevin, Matteo Guendouzi was showing passion and spirit. You're colorblind. And he also thinks you're deluded, but he doesn't know
Samuel, you
played professional football in multiple continents.
Samuel. I don't know what I'm talking about. Obviously, I don't know what I'm talking about. But this is one thing I will say to you, Samuel. Matteo Guendouzi is a young player who is just, he's not the finished article. He is not the finished article. And if he goes against the manager as a young player, should the manager just take it? Or does the manager have some pull to reprimand him? I know what I would prefer. I'd prefer the young player to get reprimanded because the young players do not run the club. It's the manager's job to run it. And that's what he's done. So whether Guendouzi throws his toys out the pram, whether he don't like it, he went on a sulk, etc. Get away, get out the club. Arteta don't need problems like that. Not at all.
Okay, so here we go from Tony. KC, there's been rumours rife that we don't really have the money for January. We don't have the budget. Can we improve with a couple more signings in January? Can you see anyone being shipped out and us being able to make any kind of investments? This question has come not only from Tony, KC, but a lot of our listeners.
Well, let's put it this way. The better players you have is the better it will be. Now, in that midfield, we are struggling because we are so slow. We pass it sideways, 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 sideways. We can't attack teams because the midfield don't pass it forward or don't run it forward. So a couple of players in that midfield will make a massive difference, Sophie.
I mean, imagine if Thomas Partey had the right partner, Casey.
Well,
I mean,
or partners.
Yeah.
That's the other thing, partners, because I truly believe Mikel Arteta wants to play a 4-3-3. Mm-hmm. And when he plays that 4-3-3, there won't be two sitting midfielders. There will be one sitting midfielder and two midfielders who can attack. Right? Mm-hmm. So that means the wide players get 1v1 because running between the centre-halves are these midfielders. So that creates a whole different dynamic for the striker because the centre-halves have, who do I pick up? They ask questions.
Go on, Casey, sorry.
I'm just going to say, if they can do the business with Mesut Ozil, that frees up a huge chunk of wages in order to recruit two players. Szoboszlai, or whatever. There's players who we can get in January. And as I've said before, so I truly believe that recruitment clock that probably they were thinking about, we can get to at the end of the season. Now, they have to start recruiting some players, one or two or three if they can, in Jan.
Okay, so with that said, because I think Rick's question here is a really good follow-up. Kev, who of the current squad would you keep if you wanted to compete for major trophies? This is a really good question because we're doing a show actually on transfers on Thursday, which we'll tell you a little bit more about at the end of the show. KC, what are you thinking on this one?
I don't mind a keeper. I think he's all right with a good back four. I'll keep Gabriel. We've not even seen Saliba, to be honest. I keep Tierney. Partey. I still think Pepe's got something to give. Mm-hmm. Aubameyang, we know with the right service, we'll get goals. I'm not sure about Lacazette because he's got 18 months of his contract left. And he's the wrong side of 30.
Mm-hmm.
So, but would I keep Lacazette? I think I would keep Lacazette. But as for the likes of Saka and that, I'll keep, obviously they're young players. I'll keep the youngsters, Martinelli and all them. I'll keep them. But of the, that first team squad of 11, say, what is it, five players I'd keep? Five, six?
Yeah. I think that's a... Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. Tierney, Gabriel, Partey, Saka, Martinelli, Lacazette and Aubameyang, honestly, I mean, maybe...
And Pepe, I said. Yeah, and Pepe, Leno. And Leno.
Pepe's value's gone down, so there's no use. We've got to try and make him... We've got to make lemonade out of lemons again. Leno, we're stuck with. We sold, you know, Emmy. We're stuck with that now. That's a decision that we've made. Runnison, he's got a long way to go before he can... You know, oust Leno in that position. Lacazette, I think, given the right players around him, can be that, yeah, that Bobby Firmino we talked about. And Aubameyang just needs to get his shit together. So here we go, Casey. There's another one here that I thought was really interesting because we've seen this. We saw Harry Redknapp convert Gareth Bale into an attacking winger from being a left back. To me, it seems like Bellerin's more of an attacking player than he is a defender. Or is he just done in this squad? Because right now, he's so polarizing, Casey. He really is.
Sophie. Yes. He's a converted winger at fullback because he couldn't cut it at winger. Let's but have it
this,
right.
We're talking about this team. We know we're talking about positioning this team the same way Harry Redknapp did that with Gareth Bale from the Southampton days to Tottenham.
Sophie.
Are you saying he's had his chance? I hear you.
No, Sophie, what I'm saying is this. Hector Bellerin has been moved from a wide player to fullback because he couldn't cut it as a wide player. It's not like Gareth Bale, who was a fullback, but you could say, right, well, I can push you a bit further forward. It's not like that. Hector Bellerin has been moved back because that's the only way you can play.
That was years ago. That was a long time ago, wasn't
Sophie,
it?
Sophie. It might have been a long time ago for Hector Bellerin, but he can't even play the right back properly.
Yeah,
he can't. At the moment.
Can't throw the ball in properly.
And,
right.
And I'm not saying he hasn't had good moments, but a player who can't even take a throw in.
All right. I know. I've got some comments for you from YouTube as well. Some good ones. Nano says, Casey, you talk so much sense. I'm banging my head against the wall for you. Great podcast. He wanted to ask you too, because we talked about Partey and the injury and, right here, Darren Sullivan wanted to bring this up on the YouTube channel. He thought Arteta was a coward. What's it got to do with Partey walking off with an injury? A lot of fans are divided about this too, Casey, because it feels like Partey, a new player, kind of got thrown under the bus. Real quick, in a nutshell, what's your thought on that? Happens a lot in football.
Yeah, no, I listen, it's a difference of opinion. I just think Partey obviously felt something. And they obviously didn't want to take a risk with it. But when you're looking on the pitch, we've got so much international experience on that pitch, Sophie. So I think Mikel Arteta has said it. It's a throwaway comment and people have jumped on it. I just think he wanted him to probably go down. That's what I think he wanted him to do, probably go down, because if he's injured... He's not going to, he can't do much. But for me, when I watched that second goal about 50 times. And all I see when the ball breaks and we're on the attack is them empty the midfield. It's a minute before half time, so the midfield just gets emptied. And then when they regain the ball and the ball pops out, Sophie's 5-3, and that includes Leno.
I know, but why did Arteta push Partey to carry on playing?
Because obviously he realized.
If he made the sub then.
Yeah, but I don't think he could make the sub at the time because the game was still going on. Do you understand what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's either you're a man down, Mm-hmm. Or he goes down and you never know. You might get the referee to blow, but it wouldn't make any difference because they were on the break.
Why was our midfield empty, Casey? What happened there in that moment?
There's no discipline. Sophie, this is what drives me mad. And this is why I say it's about the players on the pitch. A minute before half time and you've got six players emptying the whole midfield, everybody's run forward. And then when the ball pops out, Spurs have five players, Sophie, five.
Mm-hmm.
On the wrong side of you and are breaking. And let's be honest, any one of them could have scored.
Okay, here's one for you.
Xhaka, where was Xhaka? Can't run, yet he's running forward.
I mean, we played into that. It was so rudimentary, this bullshit, this game. I mean, it was so there. It was so obvious.
They set the trap, and we walked right into it.
All of it. We walked into it. Okay, James Wager, who loves to send challenging bits and bobs your way, he said this on the YouTube response to the post-game show. Emery was in charge this time last season, and he was sacked with 3 losses in the Premier League. Arteta has 6 already with 1 game fewer. Was Emery really the problem?
I've said it before and I'll say it again. I've said it in my Kev Says. You could look at Wenger. You could look at Emery. People are talking about Mikel Arteta's inexperienced. But even with experienced managers, these players haven't done it, Sophie. Mm-hmm. They've not done it. So, again, dropping out of that Champions League either hurts us too much, or the players have to take some accountability.
Yeah.
Because you can't just say that they're not doing it for Arteta when they performed a bit better under Emery, but when it mattered, they still didn't do it. When it really mattered. And under Wenger at the end, they were awful.
I think in the Premier League, it's proven that Emery was the superior manager and Arteta's got a long way to go to catch him up. These are facts.
You can't hide from that.
Here's one for you from Samuel Gray in YouTube. Arteta should be questioned about his selection of players. And this is key, Casey, because you talk about this overall in terms of the players and the players not being able to rise to the occasion no matter who the manager is. I can see him dropping some of these weak-spirited players and it will result in losing them completely. And we've had plenty of games to play now from January till the end of the season. We have to have a big squad to survive these fixtures because we know they aren't giving him $200 million to release and replace some of these players. Difficult times ahead, so buckle up for this year.
Sophie, Sam,
yeah.
Great question.
That's Samuel.
Samuel, great question. You said something earlier on, Sophie, when you said Brighton create chances, Southampton create chances.
Yes.
Do you know why they create chances, Sophie? Do you want to know why?
Why?
Because they're committed and they're willing to run and fight and do all the tough parts of it. That's why. Our boys, unfortunately...
We're snobs. Football snobs.
We're talented and they're the best way to put it is they're privileged.
Mm-hmm. They play privileged sometimes.
They're pampered. And that's why I'm saying about the management and all that. The culture at the club from the Wenger years. And the third part was, you're telling me we didn't really see this coming? We saw it under Wenger, we saw it under Emery, and we're seeing it now.
Well,
we're seeing it now. The chickens have come home to roost, Sophie.
Some people think that the manager of Brighton and Southampton's better than our manager.
Hey, Sophie, you could think that. But Sophie, one of the best managers ever in the Premier League couldn't get a tune out of these. So I don't know what people are talking about.
Well, he bought them. All right, here we go. Yeah. Jake Lowry, also on YouTube. And this is a really good one for you, considering you made your living out of this position. Arteta made a rookie mistake by not cashing in on Aubameyang. We all wanted him to sign that thing, and it's all well and good looking at hindsight 2020, KC. But can you imagine the fan base if we had not signed Aubameyang. You can't go back.
You have to sign him. You have to. We've made mistakes in the past. And as a fan base, you do not get rid of your 20-odd goal striker. I still think when the team starts to play well, Aubameyang will score a lot of goals. I still believe in him. Because you know what? One bad spell doesn't make him a bad goal scorer. But he's just struggling at the moment, just like the team is.
Yep. Here's one from Sam Parker for you on YouTube, Casey. Our football's too slow, sidewards, backwards passing, no runners, no creativity. Mourinho gave us a masterclass, gave us the ball, and we could not do anything with it. Two attempts on target with all that possession. We are going down. I don't believe we're going down, but we're definitely in a spiral.
Who was it? Who wrote that?
Sam Parker.
Sam Parker, write that name down. Sam, because we're going to hold you to that, Sam. We're going down. Listen, I understand people are unhappy. Of course we're unhappy. We're the Arsenal. But I'm going to say again, Sophie, are the fans telling me we couldn't see this coming because we got sold the dream and we got sold down the river, Sophie? We got sold down the river.
So let's talk about this a little, because Lee Crofts keeps bringing this up and I keep thinking that we ignore him when he brings it up, but he won't relent. So now I'm going to read it to you, Casey. I'll keep banging the same drum when it comes to transfers. We need players like James Ward-Prowse, Wilfred Zaha, Ivan Toney and Danny Ings. Kroenke needs to be willing to spend up to $200 million, otherwise we'll never improve. Our squad is piss poor. You could argue that Højbjerg for Spurs was a really good signing with that Premier League experience, KC. They married that a little bit with Reguilón, which is, he could be one of the signings of the summer, to be honest with you, a revelation at right back. But those who knew and have watched European football know that he is a talent at Real Madrid, even though he hadn't played for them very much. And adding Premier League experience is important.
In the middle of the pitch, 100%. But again, look, some of the players that got mentioned, Wilfred Zaha, we were linked with him anyway. But whether we got the money to do it or we just couldn't get it over the line is another thing. Because that guy is a threat and 1v1, he will be his man. And this is what our wide players now. This is what we have to do on a regular basis for the 4-3-3 to work. Once you beat your fullback, then the centre-half has to move. And that's what creates the space for an Aubameyang to get a chance. But because our wide players tend to come in, everybody's safe.
All right, so I'm going to read another one for you. And I believe Coffee is for Closers is in the chat today. So hello to you. On the YouTube response to the NLD post-game show, no way can KC say that Leicester in their title-winning season had better players than we have now. They were better managed. It's about instilling a better mentality and giving better coaching despite the deficiencies in the squad. Stop making excuses. Coffee is for Closers. Show up if you're still in chat because KC is here to answer your statement.
Again, I will keep repeating myself. On paper, yes, but the game is not played on paper. Even that season, we had a better... There were teams with better squads than Leicester that season. So why didn't they win? Why didn't Man City win? Why didn't Liverpool win? Why didn't Arsenal win? Because Leicester played the best as a team. That is why. When they crossed that white line, they performed the best of the teams.
Very well managed, in other words. Very well managed.
Hold on, Sophie. Sophie, well, no. They were well managed, yes. But the players have to play.
Yes.
And if you look at that Manchester City team against the Leicester team, you'd give Leicester no chance.
Okay, so there was a comment that came up earlier from Pramod, and I can't find it, and I've been trying to find it because everyone in chat, and I think it's a good closing. By the way, everyone, some really fantastic comments. We could go on for hours and hours and hours here. Lots of the and here he is. He was making this opinion about trust and everything, but what he said was, and maybe you can repost it for me, Pramod, who's our listener in India, a great listener of the show. He was saying that for the same reasons you're saying that Arteta can't trust the younger players to perform in the first team in the Premier League, as a fan, he can't trust Mikel Arteta because he has no experience as a manager. It's a very good point, and I'd like you to address that.
He doesn't need to trust the manager. That's the issue. If the manager's winning, that's how you gain trust. When the manager's losing, of course you're going to lose trust. That's what the game of football's about. That is it. Because whether he's experienced or not, that the game is about winning. And we are not winning right now.
But why should we trust an inexperienced manager and give him time and trust the process when he's not willing to trust players that haven't played multiple times? It's a fair question. It's a great question.
No, it isn't a fair question, because the players who haven't played, who don't have any experience, you are going to trust the people who have done the job. That's fact.
Right, so we can't trust.
Hold on, Sophie. That's in any walk of life. You do not put the new surgeon who just passed his thing in to be against the experienced guy. It doesn't work like that. The young one has to earn his stripes. That's the key. These young players have to earn their stripes.
I know, but like James is saying too, you're asking us, you're saying that they have to earn their stripes. Mikel has to earn his stripes.
Of course he does.
He's inexperienced, but he's getting so much of your backing and so much of your belief, yet...
No, Sophie, so much of my backing where? I'm saying it's about the players. I said, ultimately, and I will keep repeating myself, I keep saying it, the buck stops with the manager. Of course it does. But when he prepares the team and he sends them over the white line, he's proven they can do it. But they can't do it consistently. And it's not just under Arteta that they've proven that they can't do it consistently. It's under more experienced managers like Emery and Wenger that they've proven it. That's what I'm saying.
I hear you. And Fitzroy Edwards, I agree with you too. And someone just made the point of a couple of the Norwich players as well. But I guess Ramod's point stands. You have inexperience and... you have players that are underperforming, and at some point you've got to change something. You've got an inexperienced manager, so why can we look at one differently than the other? I think if you're comparing apples to apples, that would be fine. Okay, so I think we've reached the end of our time. Super Kev, there's so many questions. I mean, we could keep going on and on and on here.
And there will always be a lot of questions. So.
And there'll always be a lot of questions. You know, I think it's time to start looking at how do we rise from this position? Not how we got here, but the question now is how do we rise from here? How do we evolve? What do we do to climb up the table? Who does Arteta trust? I don't think the club are going to sack him. They're not going to sack him, Casey. He's not going anywhere, is he?
I don't think he is. No, I don't.
There's been a question that's come into you from quite a few people. I'm going to end on this one. And the time has flown by, James. You're right. If he does, I said to you, can't afford to Leeds to lose Wolves and Spurs. And he lost all three games.
He didn't.
He lost them all.
He didn't.
Well, he drew against Leeds. It felt like a loss.
No, but he didn't.
I know. He got a point. Lost to Wolves, lost to Spurs. Mm-hmm. If he loses to Burnley and we go into this kind of December relegation football type period that we get sucked into, does he survive? Do we phone Rafa Benitez or someone like that in January? Ooh. Come on. Don't you dissing Rafa just because he was Liverpool manager. All right.
No, Sophie. This is the point where you're wrong. I'm saying get Rafa Benitez. Listen. You could get Zidane. The players are not good enough. What part of that don't people understand?
I know, but if we lose the next three games and we end up in the bottom three, are you keeping
Arteta? But Sophie, this is the point I'm trying to make. Wenger, they saw Wenger off. They saw Emery off, who are experienced. Now Arteta's coming and he wants to change it, but he can't change it quick enough. Okay? You get rid of him, who do you get? Because whoever comes in, if they get rid of Arteta, whoever comes in, they're going to have to back him.
Has the revolving door worked for Chelsea?
Not because they're...
Has it?
Sophie.
I love it when you say, I'm going to make a trailer. Sophie.
Sophie. Let me tell you, the Chelsea model is this. If you don't do it and the owner wants you out, the new manager comes in and he's got a war chest. That's every manager. Arsenal manager doesn't have a war chest.
Well, Frank Lampard didn't until the second part of his tenure.
No, because he couldn't. And look what happened to them last season.
But he's still qualified for the Champions League.
Yeah, I know, but he won nothing.
I know, but he lost the FA Cup final. He got them to a cup final and he qualified top four.
Yeah, but Sophie, whose squad is better, Chelsea's or Arsenal's?
Well, Chelsea's.
Right, so it
makes sense. For the last 10 years.
Right, so it makes sense. So the point I'm saying to you to answer your question, which was a good question, why does the revolving door work at Chelsea? Is because whoever comes in gets a war chest. They come in, they get a war chest, they can beef up that squad, and then they could go again. They can go again. Arsenal's recruitment, I've said it all along, and I'll say from the hierarchy down for the last 10 years, is why the chickens are coming on to roost now, because we haven't even got a squad who fight. That's an embarrassment.
So here's what we're going to do. Okay, yes, it is. And Zod, indeed, we agree with the legend. I mean, Roberto Di Matteo, you could argue, won a European trophy and a domestic cup with having no experience whatsoever and came into a situation where he had to inspire players. I know, yeah, but
look,
he still had to inspire them.
No, but no, Sophie. You talk about inspiration and he's a manager with no experience, but he's got the players who cross the white line and do the business. That's a difference.
So this is what I'm saying to you, and let's end this here, is that Arteta needs to now stop trusting the same players to cross the white line, whether they're young, inexperienced or not. We have nothing to lose anymore. We're in 15th position in the Premier League. We have no hope of getting into the top four. Europa League is our best shot at getting back to Champions League football, not because we can win the Champions League, but because we need the money and we need the financial.
I beg to differ on that. You say we've got no chance of getting in the top four. I say we can get in the top four.
Well, because
we can. But because we have to turn things around.
Because what makes you now think that we can turn things around with the same players that you're saying?
I never said same. Whoa. Who said same players? I never said same players. You said it. I never said same players.
How much do you think our squad's going to change between now and the summer and the end of the summer?
I think January has to be the turning point. Has to. Because Arteta knows he cannot carry on with these players. He knows that.
Of course he knows that, but he also hasn't given a chance to some of the players that he has, right? So I agree. I think, can we pull an Ole Gunnar Solskjaer and be in the position we are now and finish in the top four next season? Yes, why not? But the stars have to be aligned and the players that you have there have to be willing, like, i.e. at least some of the leader players at Manchester United stepped up and showed the way. You know, you had Matic. I mean, you had players like Luke Shaw that came back and played well. You have, you know, David De Gea that was killed and came back and put on a good performance. Their midfield was a mess, but they kind of came back. You had Rashford and Greenwood that, you know, show the passion and the proudness of wearing the Manchester United badge. So you have maybe a different pool of players, and I think we can, but with that same token, why do you think, you know, he's not going to buy like six players and we're going to get rid of six players in January, are we?
No, but you could loan players. You still can loan players.
Yeah, of course.
So you can loan players. Listen, however he has to do it, he's got to do it.
Well, we've got to do it somehow, Casey. We've got to climb up that table. And I agree with you. Loan some players out. Bring some loan players in. You know, bench the Deadwood. Don't start Willian again for now. Don't start Xhaka. I would bench Aubameyang for the next game. Why not? I don't think Pepe should earn his way back into the starting lineup automatically. He needs to earn his way back. Partey is now gone for a while, so you've got to figure out what's going to happen in that midfield. It's a mess. So why not play Maitland-Niles in there? You can't get any worse than a Ceballos and Xhaka pairing. Bellerin needs to be benched. You've got Holding that is so hot and cold. Gabriel is a winner. You know, can Mari now come in and play in the Premier League? We don't know yet. And you've got Tierney, who's lost his way a little bit. So with that token, you've got some people that can help get us and climb us up the table, but balancing that out is going to be tough.
I thought he had a decent game at Spurs, by the way, Tierney. I thought he had a decent game.
It's been a bit of a hot mess, don't you think?
No, I thought he was fine against Spurs.
What do you think about? Okay, I'm going to get you out on this. We've gone 11 minutes over time, and I don't like it when I have VAR extra time with KC here because, you know, got to make it count. But Fenerbahce, Ozil, looks like this might be happening in January. What's to say other than good luck, son?
All the best. Thank you for your time and wish him all the best.
Yeah. All right, Super Kev, tomorrow you are off. We've given you the day off. And I just want to say, Casey, there's a reason why in the top right-hand corner, the Highbury squad image has been replaced by me and my dog, Lucci. I wanted everyone in the Highbury squad chat and all of our regular listeners to send some really good muscles and Casey-style passion and G-ing people up because Lucci is not doing well. It looks like she may have a tumor in her eye and it's been really, really difficult. I didn't sleep a wink last night because I was just babysitting my little dog. She's a gooner. She's an Arsenal fan through and through. She watches all the games with me every weekend, European, no matter what, whether we win, lose or draw. And so in honor of little Lucci, she's our little icon in the top right today. So Casey?
Wish Lucci well. Definitely wish Lucci well. And I'm sure everybody will give their regards.
Yes.
To you and Lucci and everyone. But listen, it's always awesome and it's always difficult when we ain't doing well. But come on, you Gunners. Come on.
You know what, Casey? That's all we can say. Boom.